Praise God. Mark chapter 5. Time for your help.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for all that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided for us. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much for your love. Father, you demonstrated it when you sent us Jesus. You demonstrated that you're for mankind, and we thank you so much. We praise and magnify you. Lord, help us this morning. Father, may my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. I thank you as I open my mouth, you will fill it. Father, I thank you that I'll speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words that people need to hear, Father, that will hit bullseyes in their heart. And Father, it'll be like I'm just speaking directly one-on-one to them. And Lord, they might say, how did he know to say that? And the answer is, I didn't, but you did. And so we make sure to deflect all praise onto you, Father. You're wonderful and you're good, and without you we can do nothing. So thank you for your help this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 5 says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. And so we've been teaching on faith. Why are we teaching on faith? Because faith can make you whole.
Amen.
And I'm tired of the body of Christ lacking. I'm tired of the body of Christ not being whole in all areas of their life, you know, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationship-wise, with their children, jobs, different things like that. Well, the Bible says faith can make you whole. And isn't it interesting in this verse here that Jesus said, your faith made you whole. He didn't praise the power of God. He didn't say, lady, thank your lucky stars I was here. He said, your faith made you whole. And in fact, what's wonderful about it is we see that Jesus was being grabbed at by lots of people. Lots of people needed stuff from him, right? The multitudes were thronging him. Remember the disciples said, wait a minute. You're saying that who touched you? Like you're singling somebody out? There's many people touching you that need something. But notice that Jesus only felt something go out of him when one person touched him. When a certain person. Because she brought to the table what other people didn't bring to the table. See, the power of God is always present. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always a healer. He's always a provider. He's always a giver. He's always merciful. He's always the protector. He's always a shield. My God, he's always the good things that he is. He never changes. And he's not dangling those things in front of us because he said in his word, all my promises are yes and amen. He says, my answer is yes, you can have them. Well, Jesus was walking down that road that day, and he was a carrier of God's power. He was a carrier of the mercy, the healing power of God. And there's no doubt other people needed something from him that day, but he only felt the power of God go out of him for one. Why? Faith caused the power of God to flow out of him. And we're teaching this series because, you know, one of the things I really enjoy about pastoring, I told the Lord this when I first knew I was called. I said, Lord, I'll preach it from the front page to the back. I won't be ashamed of any of it. And one of the things that I love is knocking down the walls of religion. Because religion, all it does is suck the life out of people. All it does is it's dried up, right? We're interested in a relationship with the living, true God. And religion has taught people, it taught me, it taught her, it taught many of you that have come and told me places you grew up and what you came out of. Religion has taught you to sit back. And whatever will be, will be. Whatever God's going to do, God's going to do it. And you can't really change much of it. Well, that's not true. Had this woman not done something this day, she'd have gone 13 years without being healed, 14 years without being healed. Until she did something. See, Jesus was always ready. He was always willing. He was always available. He was always able. But until she did something and made a demand on the power of God, she didn't get it. Just like all the other people there. Well, did Jesus love her more than the rest of the crowd? Absolutely not. He died for us all. He loves us all. But faith did it. And if you don't believe me, I love this verse. Go to Luke 22 and verse 32. This is why we're teaching on faith here. Luke 22 and verse 32. People have a hard time swallowing how important faith is because, you know, I've made this statement, it's true. Let's see here. Actually, go to verse 31, bring it in context, verse 31. But I've made the statement that how your life turns out has more to do with you than it does God. Amen. The choices you make, whether you choose faith, choose not faith, choose do the word, choose not do the word, that's not up to God. He's provided everything you need. What this is a buffet. Yeah. Yeah. Whether you sit down and eat, it's up to you, but it's been provided. Amen. It's been provided. Now, you don't believe me, look at what Jesus said here in Luke 22. Verse 31, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, that's talking about Peter, Satan. Now who's Satan? The stealer, the killer, the destroyer, the evil, nasty one. He says, Satan has desired to have you. Well, I'll tell you what, if he desires to have someone, that ain't good. And I'll tell you what, if you're doing anything for God and you're born again, you have a bullseye on your back too. The devil don't like you messing up his kingdom doing things. So you'd say it this way, the devil, we know this, 1 Peter 5 says that there's an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's out on the prowl looking for us. And he said, Peter, you know, you're high up in this thing. You got a bullseye on your back. We know over there in Acts chapter 12, Herod almost killed him. He had a big bullseye on his back. He said, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now look at this. But I have prayed for you. So now, the only adversary we have is the devil. That's our adversary, the Bible says. He said, I have prayed for you, Peter. So he says, the devil's after you, but I've prayed for you. Now the words of Jesus here ought to pull off every light bulb we have in our head off, in our hearts off, in our flesh off. I mean, just tell us how much we need to learn faith and operate in these things. He didn't say, I've prayed for you that God would keep you. I pray for you that the devil would keep his hands off you, Peter. I pray for you that you'd be able to skirt around this attack from the enemy. No. He said, I've prayed for you. Now, don't you think Jesus is going to pray for Peter the most effective prayer that's going to keep the devil off his back? Yes. Absolutely. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith, not Jesus's, not God's, not his pastor, not his spouse, not so-and-so, deacon so-and-so, and sister so-and-so, and brother so-and-so. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Why? He knew that if Peter's faith wouldn't fail, the devil couldn't touch him.
That's right. Amen.
Faith is important, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Hallelujah. We think, well, God will just do it just because. No, he won't.
Right.
No, he won't. You've been hoodwinked. You've been taught wrong. You've been fed wrong. God is only a respecter of faith. He will pass over 2 million people. We saw him do it in the Old Testament. Of his own people whom he loved, doubters and unbelievers. They missed out on the promise of God, but two people, Caleb and Joshua, had a different spirit about them. They operated in faith, and guess what? They saw the promise of God. They walked into the promised land. This mentality that the devil has people hoodwinked, has people sitting back on their rear ends doing nothing. Just waiting for God. Well, if God wants me to have the right job, he will. If God wants me to have the money, he'll have. If he wants me to be healed, he'll heal me. No! Take what's yours.
Amen.
By faith. Faith is how we take it. I mean, my God, she got off her rear end one day and went and did something about it and got healed. Blind Bartimaeus got up and did something, and Jesus said, it was your faith, blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. So here we are in part 5. We saw, first of all, why faith is important, and I kind of just talked about that. We told you what faith is. Faith is the dealings in the unseen realm, right? It's the belief, the persuasion of what God has said when there's no natural evidence to point to it. It's believing in prosperity when the checkbook and the money's not saying there's prosperity. It's believing in healing when there's no healing to be found. That's what faith is. you wouldn't have to, it's not called faith if you can see it. If you have all the money, you don't need to believe for the money. If you have all the healing, you don't need to believe for the healing. It's called faith because you can't see it. It's dealing in the unseen realm. So we saw why you need it. We saw what it is. And we saw how to get it, didn't we? You know, God promises you healing. God promises you prosperity. God promises you a whole lot of things in the Bible. Well, the Bible says we receive the promises of God, Hebrews 6 and verse 12 tells us, through faith. So you got to be in faith to receive the promises of God. Well, you might say, I don't know if I can believe in healing. That sickness, the symptoms of my body, the doctor's report, man, I have more faith in that. Or I have more faith in my checkbook. I have more faith in my paycheck and what's going on there. I have more faith in the natural. You might say that. Well, that's okay to admit that, but do something about it. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that. So if you're lacking faith for healing, feed on healing scriptures. You're lacking faith in finances, feed on financial scriptures. Whatever you need, the Bible says the spiritual law is when you listen and hear the word, faith will rise up and grow, praise God. And then we saw last week, faith just on the inside of your heart, because once you hear the word, faith is then conceived in your heart. But it needs to be delivered, praise God, and it needs to be used. We said that faith is like the gun that has bullets in it, right? What does a gun with bullets just sitting in the chamber do? They don't do anything for you. It's when you release the bullets that they work for you. You know, people that are, fighting in wars and stuff, they got their guns loaded. They don't just go on the battlefield and point their guns at and expect their guns to do something. No, they pull the trigger and a bullet comes out. Praise God. That's the same way. You can get all the faith you want in your heart, but you got to release your faith. And we saw how to do that last week, didn't we? You release your faith by the words in your mouth. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He will have whatsoever he says. Praise God. You got to release your faith through your words. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto the promise. How are you going to believe? You're going to first hear the word on something. It's going to grow in your heart, but then you're going to have to release it. To get that promise to come to you and manifest, you're going to have to open your mouth and speak to it. Praise God. So that's where we're at. Hopefully, we're at a place where this week, you built faith up a week ago, and now you're at a place where you released your faith. You've been speaking it. And we saw that the Bible says that the word of God, that's what comes out of our mouth, the word, because we can't have anything apart from his word. We can't have anything apart from what he speaks in our heart and what he says in his word, right? We can't believe him for anything apart from that. So we're speaking the word. When he says all our needs can be met, we speak that. That's speaking the word. Well, the Bible says that the word of God in Isaiah 55 is like the rain that comes down, right? The rain comes down, it hits the ground, it causes the ground to change, causes it to bring forth and bud, which eventually leads to seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be. It shall go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I have sent it to, and it shall prosper in the thing where I have sent it. So he says, the word is like rain. When you speak the word, it hits the atmosphere. It hits the problem. And the more you speak it, because rain, a farmer can't just have one rainfall in a summer. In the spring and expect his crops to grow. No, it's a repeated rain, a repeated saturation of the atmosphere. And so that's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, you got to say it. He said three times you got to say it. You're going to have to say it three times the believing. Praise God. And now I understand why. Because like the word's like rain. Well, the rain hits over and over and over, and that's what causes the ground to change. And if we're going to cause our situations to change, you can't just walk out of here and say, by his stripes I'm healed one time and expect it to go away. No, we keep speaking to that thing. Why? We're saturating it. We're hitting it with the rain from heaven, praise God. And it's causing like the rain. See, God always uses, a lot of times, natural examples to bring out spiritual illustrations. He'll use natural examples that illustrate the word for us. Well, we can see rain. And if we start thinking about the rain like the word, we understand we better start saying some things. Just like we need the rain to keep coming, we need to keep speaking things for it to change. Praise God. So we're speaking it now. But now we're at the next step in part 5. And I'll tell you what, get ready, because this is the step where many faith battles are won and lost right here. This is the step today where... Because I'll tell you what, I can get you excited about faith. I can tell you it can change your world. My God, when I heard about the faith message, it did something to me. You mean I don't have to stay this way financially? You mean the problems they're telling me are in my body don't have to stay there? You mean the problems I'm having mentally and emotionally, I don't have to live like that the rest of my life? You're telling me that? Praise God, that I'm going to take it. Hallelujah. I'm going to learn faith. I'm going to use faith. And I can get you excited about faith. I can tell you how to get faith, and that's not hard. Just listening to the Word, that's a natural thing that will happen. A spiritual thing in your heart will happen by listening to the Word. It's not hard. It shouldn't be to release your faith and open your mouth, but here's where the challenge comes in. This is where the battles are won and lost. See, I call this like once you start to release your faith, then you get in the trenches. And if you're a sports fan, I do use sports examples at times. Football teams, you know, they line up, defense and offense, and every time they snap the ball, there's a coming together and a clash. Offensive linemen, I mean, the biggest guys on the field, right, are crashing together. Now, if you listen to former football players, current football players, analysts that are former coaches, current coaches, and things like that, they all say the same thing. The game is won and lost at the line of scrimmage. The line of scrimmage is where it starts, where the offense and the defense come together. Because, think about it on the offensive terms, if the offense doesn't take control of the offense will not be able to pass the ball the way it needs to. The offense will not be able to run the ball the way it needs to. And the vice versa for the defense. If the defense gets run over, they're going to get scored on and scored on. So the game is always won in those trenches. Now, that's not the glorious part of football. That's not the wide receiver making the one-handed catch or the running back high-stepping it in the end zone and spiking the ball. That's not very glorious, but that's where the battle's won. That's where it takes grit. That's where it takes fortitude. That's where it takes determination. That's where it takes a no-quit attitude, praise God. That's where it takes strength to win that battle up front. Well, that's what this is. Because once you've released your faith, you have now stepped over into the realm of patience.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, this is where many people fumble the ball of faith. Because it's not hard to hear about healing, get excited about healing, get it in your heart and start speaking healing. Where the rubber meets the road is when you wake up a week later and your symptoms are the same or have gotten worse. Where the rubber meets the road is when you release your faith for finances and then all hell breaks loose with your vehicle. All hell breaks loose with your home and something happens. Something happens in your job and it looks like you have less and less. An unexpected bill comes up. It's not hard to get excited and release your faith, but when you step into the realm of patience, that's where the ball gets dropped a lot of times for people. But you have to understand, if the word is like rain, when the rain hits the ground the first time, the thing, something's changing, but you don't see the change till an extended period of time. You don't see the blade of the ear of corn coming up out of the ground. You don't see that little green thing. The farmer planted the seed. Oh, it rained. I'm going to go out the next day, and I'm going to see something there. No. But you know what a farmer doesn't do? He doesn't go and maybe he's out in his fields doing other things and he planted the seed the day before and it rained that night. He doesn't go out and drive the fields. Oh, it must not be working. It must not be working. He knows it's working. He knows it's working. He knows it's just a matter of time. Well, he's done everything he needs to do. He's put the seed in the ground. The environment's good. The soil's good. It's raining. It's just a matter of time. And that's what happens with Christians. We don't understand. If the word is like rain, well then, when the rain hits our situations and we need something to spring forth and bud, we need finances to bud, we need health to bud, we need a job, we need a car to bud, we need all these things to spring up, it ain't gonna happen right away. A lot of times, we're thankful when it does for miracle grow harvest, right? Woo, chia pet. You dump that thing on there and it grows right away. We like those kind, but I'll tell you what, that's not the norm. That's not the norm. And when you understand that patience is a part of faith, when you step into that realm and it looks like nothing is changing, you won't have a spiritual freak out. Amen? Oh, it's not working. Oh, I must be doing something wrong. Oh, God didn't hear me. Oh, I'm this. Oh, no. You got to understand. Go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It's a part of it. It's a part of it. Better get used to it. It's a part of it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we just confess for our money and it showed up the next day, that don't take much faith. We just confess for our healing, it showed up. Now again, you have to understand, it's not God withholding it just to see how good your faith is. There's an enemy.
Yeah, that's right.
But if we keep persistent, he can't stand against the word always will work.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times, there's many people that will not, many times there's people that will not experience a supernatural move of God in their life. Right? I mean, like a supernatural healing where they're healed automatically or just some gift of the Spirit. A lot of Christians will go through life and never have that happen for them, but that's okay. The Word will always work for you. No matter what, the Word works, and the constant pressure of the Word will cause that thing to break free. Praise God. But Hebrews 6 and verse 12, I guess I better stop yapping and get there. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says this, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, notice this, through faith and patience inherit the promises. What's he saying? Faith, get to the place where you have it in your heart, release it with your mouth, but that's not how it's automatically going to come, because now you stepped over into the realm of patience. And ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest, at least I can speak for myself, I am not naturally a patient person. I want it now, I want it my way, and I want it now, right? I mean, normally just our flesh is not very comfortable with patience, but you better learn to be comfortable in the realm of patience if you want to receive. Why? It's part of it. Faith and patience. Go to Mark 11:24. Faith and patience. Well, I prayed for it. Pastor laid hands on me Sunday morning. It's Wednesday night, and I still have the same thing. You're not patient. That's not patience. Praise God. How long do I have to wait till it shows up? So you're saying I got to keep watering? Yeah, you keep watering until the thing changes, because it will work for you. The Word always works. Always works. And if you stop doing it, that's why it's not working for you. You stopped watering. You know, I could have beautiful flowers out in front of my house. I just decided, you know, in the hot summer where we're not getting much rain, I could decide to just not water them. Well, they'll stop growing, they'll wither up, and they'll shrivel away and die. Or I can just keep watering them and seeing the life come out in them. Praise God. Keep watering. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray. Now notice this. And you shall have them. Well, I mean, I've tried. I have looked over this verse. I've wondered if I've needed glasses. I've wondered if I didn't know how to read. But I have looked and looked for the Bible to tell me when the time frame is of when I shall have them. He says, if I believe, when I pray, I'll have them, but he didn't tell me when.
That's right.
He didn't tell, oh, well, it'll happen in a week, it'll happen the next day, it'll happen, you know, next month. No, he just promised me, if I desire, pray, and believe, I'll have it.
Amen.
Just didn't promise me the when, praise God. That's the patience side of faith. Hallelujah. So, now that we've stepped into that realm of patience, would you like to see what you're supposed to do during that time?
Amen.
Would you like to see how you can keep yourself from fumbling the ball? Because that's what happens to people. Man, they start out so strong. They hear, my God, I can be healed. My God, I can be free from poverty. I can be free from whatever you need. They hear it. Pastor gives them verses, encourages them, speaks to them, gets them built up, and they're excited. And then they enter into the patient side of it, and things don't look like they're changing. In fact, if they look like they're changing for the worse. And people drop their faith. And then they wonder, why is it showing up? I just want to just quickly tell you something. Just because you wait a long time in doubt and unbelief does not mean you deserve your promise. What am I saying? The waiting a long time does not qualify you to receive. The being in faith qualifies you to receive. And many people get like the children of Israel, and they moan and groan and complain and gripe to God, and they think, well, I've waited for so long. I've been in church. Your church attendance does not qualify you for the promises of God. Being a tither without faith does not qualify you for the promises of God. It doesn't. Hallelujah. Well, I've been a good person. Doesn't qualify you. Lot was a good person. In fact, the Bible called Lot a righteous man, but he didn't do what was right, and he ended up hell on earth.
That's right.
And the Bible said he was righteous.
Yeah.
My God.
Oh,
faith qualifies you.
Yeah.
That's all. Faith is the only thing that qualifies you to receive the promises of God. He didn't say, be not slothful, but followers of them who through being a good person, showing up to church, serving in the church, serving in the nursery, being a cleaner, being an usher, you know, being a blessing, giving pastor birthday card on his birthday, they receive the promises. Nope. They through faith and patience receive the promises. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's find out what to do, because we don't want to fumble. We don't want to drop that ball. That's what people are doing. They're dropping the ball. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. If you're going to have to be patient and wait for it, you might as well be patient in faith. Then you'll know it's coming.
Yeah.
Being patient and not in faith and just expecting, well, God must just feel bad for me. Eventually it's got to come. That's just not how it works. He was okay with the 40 years.
Yeah.
People wandering in the wilderness. Their carcasses falling. and them not getting. He said, the generation that I've provided this for will not see the promise. He was okay with that. You chose not to have faith, that's your choice. Praise God. So what do we do during that? Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Now remember, how do we say that we release faith? We release faith through our words, right? Well, look what it says in verse 23. Let us hold fast. That means to grip, to seize, to take hold. The profession of our faith without wavering. He says, hold on to that confession. What's that mean? Don't stop saying it. Don't stop doing what you know to do. Hold fast to the confession of faith without wavering. Now notice this. For he, this is the admonition and encouragement of God. He is faithful, that promise. What's he saying? When you're in day 10, when you're in day 20, when you're in month 20, when you're in year 2 and it doesn't look like anything's changing. I'm not saying it has to be that long, but there are things that takes time to move because they're so glorious at the end, my God. And the devil's just kicking and screaming to keep you from it. Now, all the blessings don't take years, but I'm just saying time frames here. He said, I want to encourage you that I'm faithful. If I promised it to you, I'm faithful. So when you wake up day 365 and it doesn't look like it's changed, I want you to know I'm still as faithful as day number one. Amen. It's coming. Hold fast to the profession. See, why do people not receive it? Because in that patience, they start out like a fireball. Man, they wake up the next morning, symptoms in their body, but they heard pastor preach out. They've been in the Word. They wake up and say, my God, He heals all my diseases. By His stripes, I'm healed. And at nighttime, they're going to bed saying, my God, I'm walking into healing. He heals all my diseases. Day 2 comes and they're still on fire, right? And day 3 comes, they're still on fire. And then 6 days go by. They're feeling their body. 7 days go by. Nothing's changing. All of a sudden, instead of waking up with that, my God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, they wake up and say, man, I don't feel so good. What's going on? And then they might say, well, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes, and they're just hanging on by a thread. And then day 20 goes by, day 30 goes by, and they have a confession, but they wake up, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I feel so bad. I guess this faith thing doesn't work for me. And what happened, instead of holding fast to the profession of faith, they're now holding fast to the profession of doubt. And that don't work. That don't work, praise God. I remember a story Brother Hagin told of a woman. She had a malignant growth on her side of her face. He said it was almost like the size of a small like eggplant right on the side of her face, and she heard about healing and things like that and found out that faith can make her whole. And Brother Hagin said to her, you know, found out she was in belief, found out she had faith, and Brother Hagin said to her, will you do what I tell you to do? She said, well, if it's easy, I will. I mean, my God, I'll do whatever, get a thing out, you know, get healed and stuff like that. But anyways, he said, it's easy. Don't worry about that. You know, she was all worried it was going to be hard. He said, I want you. In fact, he said, I want you to release your faith. He said, in fact, I want you to write down the day and time that you're going to release your faith for this thing to be gone. And he said, every morning when you wake up, I want you to wake up. Don't feel for it. Don't be going looking in the mirror. I want you to wake up and say, by His stripes, I'm healed. And this thing on my face is going. I want you to say that every day. I want you to say that every day. He said, I want you to write it down. And then when the devil comes with thoughts and symptoms in your body, or you see a reflection of yourself, or someone comments on it, or whatever, and it comes to your mind, I want you to say, on such and such a day, such and such a time, I receive my healing. Praise God. I receive my healing. Praise God. And she said, will you do that? She said, yep. So she went home. 10 straight days, woke up and said it. Throughout the day, she made it a point to confess, this thing's leaving, this thing's going, this thing's going. And at nighttime, she'd say it before she'd go to bed. She'd wake up, 10 straight days, nothing changed. Well, 9 straight days. On the 10th day, she woke up and that thing was completely gone. It had fallen off her face and was laying next to her. In fact, she threw it in a jar of alcohol and brought it to service that night for people to see. Yeah. She kept at it, though. Same spunk, same fired up, held on to that thing. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to help you with how to hold on to that thing. But here's what you have to understand, that this will help you. You're going to have to hold on. You know why I told you to hold fast? Because there's going to be a lot of rocking, rolling, and reeling. Right? You ever heard, we get in a roller coaster and say, sit down, strap in, and hold on. Yeah. You're going to be a shaky ride, right? But hang on tight. You'll get to the end. He's saying, hold on. Because there's going to be a lot of rocking and rolling from the devil. There's going to be a lot of shaking from circumstances, trying to shake that confession loose. Because Jesus said you'll have what you say. If the devil can get you to stop saying it, he can get you from stopping to have it. So he's going to shake, he's going to rattle, and he's going to roll you, praise God. But hold on. Hold on tight. My God, hold on. Praise the Lord. Hold on to that thing. And you're going to have to understand that in the midst of that confession, because that's what you do once you step into patience, you hold fast. You wake up, you say it. When you think about it, you say it. What are you doing? You're watering that thing. You're hitting it like the rain over and over and over again. You're going to have to understand that there's adversity in the midst of that patience. You know, think about a long-distance runner, a marathon runner. Man, they wake up. I mean, usually if you're training for a marathon, you've prepped your body. You've ate the right things. You've got a proper amount of sleep. When they show up at the starting line of a marathon, they're pumped. They're excited about the race. Their body feels good. Do you think their body feels as good at mile number one as it does mile 19? No. Do you think their mind feels the same at mile number one as mile number 22? No. There's adversity. They don't all of a sudden start running the race and about mile, I don't know, whatever a marathon runner would get, mile 15. Oh, this is so hard. I didn't know this was going to happen. I'm done. No. A marathon runner presses through it. When the adversity comes, they know there's a certain part in this race I'm going to hit a wall. And I got to just keep pushing through that wall. If I want to see the finish line, I can't let that stop me. And they just keep going and going, and eventually they get to the finish line. Go to Acts 27 and verse 1 in the midst of it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you're holding fast to the profession, you're going to be holding on to something that looks exactly opposite to what your circumstances and the Word says. Amen. Let's go to verse, let's see where I want to go here. Let's see. Go to verse 22. Now this is what's going to help you. Because what are we confessing during that time of trial? We're confessing the Word. Here's what you have to understand. We're not confessing our healing because we feel healed. If you're sick and you say, I feel great, you're lying. Right. You're a liar. I don't confess the Word because I feel it. I confess the Word because Jesus said to confess it. Amen. I'm not, how's your finances doing? Well, I'm just doing great financially. I have no money in the bank. That you're lying. I'm not confessing my prosperity because I feel rich, because I can see the money. I'm confessing my prosperity because the Word says to do so. Now, this will help you going forward. You have to understand, before I look at this and this adversity, that you have to understand there's two kinds of knowledge and there's two kinds of senses. And they're all both the same thing. What I mean by that? There's natural knowledge. What's natural knowledge? Tells you you're sick. Shows the doctor's report. Tells you your body giving you symptoms. That's natural knowledge. Your mind knows what's going on. There's also natural knowledge financially, right? You know what the checkbook says. You know what your bills are saying. You know what you have in your account, what you don't have in your account. That's natural knowledge. But then there's Word knowledge. There's Word knowledge. And Word knowledge says you're healed. Word knowledge says you're not broke. You're rich, praise God. And so when we grasp onto the confession, we got to get past our senses, because a lot of people won't confess the Word because they don't feel like it. Come on. It's the truth. We walk by faith, not by feelings. Praise God. Look at what Paul said. I'm helping you with this. To wake up in the midst of sickness and confess your healing. To wake up in the midst of poverty and confess your prosperity. Whatever promise you're believing for, when it doesn't look like it, I'm going to help you here tonight, or this morning, I should say. In Acts 27, I said, where did I say to go? Verse 22. It says, and now I exhort you. Now, Paul's on a boat here. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, here's what you have to understand. I saved us time from reading verse 1 up to now. All of a sudden, there's a storm with all these people, and they're fearing for their life. They think they're going to die. It's a storm of deathly proportions here. So Paul comes to him, he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I love it. Right in the midst of a test and trial, Paul says, be of good cheer. Well, didn't he say rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Well, let me tell you what. Always means in every season of life. Are there times you don't feel like rejoicing? Sure there are, but he said, I don't care how you feel. Rejoice anyways. He says, I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am. He says, I am God. See, he knew who he was. He said, an angel stood by me and said something. He's going to, I'm going to tell you what he said here in a second. But he said, an angel of God, who I am. I'm God's. Praise the Lord. Don't you know you're God's? Well, then why do you complain? Why do you get worried? Why do you get down when the money doesn't look like there? If you're God's, you're not panicked. He's got the answer. He's got the healing you need. He's got the direction. He's got the protection. He's got the deliverance you need. He's got the ability to turn that thing around. You got to know your God, and you got to know you're His.
That's right. Amen.
My God, I know I'm His child. Man, I've come to the revelation. I hate to break this news to you, but I'm His most loved child on the whole planet. I mean, if there was a list of how much God loved everybody in the world, you'd see my name at the top. I'm sorry to tell you. You're going to have to take a seat behind me. Some of you out there disagree with me, but you're wrong. I talk to Him every day. I know how much He loves me. I'm convinced I'm His favorite. Are you stinking convinced you're His favorite?
That's right.
Amen. That's why I'm trying to shake you and get it over to you. I'm trying to be arrogant up here. I know God loves us all the same, but I'll tell you what. I'm vying for His love. I know He loves me. Praise God. So when I step into something, test and trial, I say, wait a minute, my God's on my side. He's daddy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Anyways, he said, whose I am and whom I serve. Now this is what the angel said in verse 24. Fear not, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. What's he saying? He says, you can't die in this boat. Caesar ain't out in this water. And God said, you're going to stand before kings and mighty people to tell your testimony. He said, you got to go before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee and all them that sail with you. What's he saying? None of them are going to die. And Paul said, an angel said that. Now, before you get all religious in your mind and say, well, yeah, anybody can do that with an angel. I know what you're thinking. Well, I'd be in faith too if I had an angel. Uh-uh. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy than any angel, than any voice from heaven. The Bible says that the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, is the most surest word of prophecy we could ever have.
Yeah.
Well, I would believe God if an angel stood beside me and said the money was coming. You doubter!
Yeah.
The Bible said you don't need an angel. All you need is Philippians 4:19. It's a more sure word.
Amen.
We already have all we need. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all those people, well, I need more. You're just telling off on yourself how much of a doubter you are. All I need is to hear it in the Word, hear it in my heart. That's all I need. The Word of God is the most sure word of prophecy there is. So anyways, we got past all that dumb thinking. He said, fear not, I've given you all them that sail with you. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs? Hallelujah. You know how many times I've addressed my problem with wherefore, sirs? Be of good cheers, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. What's he saying? I know the storm looks horrible. I know natural knowledge tells us we're dead and gone. I know the natural says we're never getting out of this. I know, but wherefore, sirs? Be of good cheer, hallelujah, for I believe God, even as He said it, regardless of what I'm seeing, it shall be. Praise God. This faith stuff pumps me up. I want to kick this pulpit over right now and just jump on it or something. I love it. It gives me chills. What does that mean? Well, there's situations you go through. The doctors have said such and such. They got the test results. They got the report. You got the bank statements. You got the checkbook. You can see it with your eyes. You can touch it with your hands. You've heard all the rumors. You've heard all the facts. The evidence has been reported. Yet God's Word says something different than what your checkbook says, than what your body says, than what your doctor's report says, than what your friends say, your family say, and all the other circumstances say. The Word says something different so you can look that in the face. When the storms are coming and when they're raging and all around you and they're beating down on you, you can say, wherefore, sirs, I believe God and it shall be even as it was told me. And you hold on to that confession. That money's coming. That healing's coming, my God. And you don't let go of that thing. Why? You believe God. And Paul said, he said it, so it has to happen. Praise God. And it did. It did. I remember, oh man, where's some water? I think I'm going to burn up here. Praise God. Has anyone ever spontaneously combusted from the pulp? Because I feel like I'm about to. Praise God. He's faithful, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many of our friends and family members and co-workers need to hear these things. They need to be here, people, and they won't be here till you start opening your mouth and get a little boldness in you. Praise God. Just remember this. The flames of hell will offend your family, your friends, and your co-workers more than you telling them about God and Jesus and that there's a church that will teach you how to be blessed in this life. The flames of hell will offend them way more than this place ever will. Praise God. Remember that. Don't forget that. I remember when we were building this building. And I remember I got the call from Jay Eckert, who was the construction, the head of the construction team, Jay Eckert Construction, that did this building. And he said, Pastor, New York State regulations tell us we need a sprinkler system. And while that might not seem like a problem, he said, it's going to cost you upwards around $100,000 extra. I mean, the price just kept going up and up. Total at the end, $100,000. And now, if we need something, if we need exit doors, and we need lighting, and we need certain things. Whatever we need, the Bible says He'll supply our needs. But I said to Jay, I said, is this a reasonable request? He said, now this is coming from a professional construction guy. It's ridiculous for a building this size, with the exits right there, and how little you are in that building, that you would need a sprinkler system. The building enforcement code officer of this area said, it is a ridiculous request, but we can't get around it. It's in the New York State regulations, and I can't pass off it until and sign off on this until you have the sprinklers, and that means you're going to have to tap into the water supply, which means you're going to have to dig up across underneath the road, and that would get the town, the village, and the county involved, and they didn't want to do it, and just it was a big mess, and they said it was going to be that much money. I said, well, so you're telling me, I said, it's unreasonable. He said, it's absolutely unreasonable, but the people that make the, you know, you get construction guys, like the people that make the laws probably never picked up a hammer in their life. And be like me making a construction law. I mean, that's dumb. And that's what happens. He said, it's so unreasonable for a building this size, but with the occupancy you're going to have, it's required. I said, but you're telling me it's unreasonable? They said, yes, it's unreasonable. I said, well, praise the Lord, because the Bible says I am delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. I said, that's what the Word says. Now, I said to him, is there any way we can get around? He said, well, we're going to an architect and an engineer, and we're going to see if there's anything that we can write in a variance of different things like that, see if we can get them to plead our case for us. All the construction people came back, all the architects, all the engineers came back and said the same thing. There's nothing we can do. It's impossible. You're going to have to do it. Start saving your money. Well, I just don't accept anything that's against the Word of God. He said, I could be delivered. There's a lot better things we can do with $100,000 than put some things in the ceiling that shoot water out that we're probably never going to see. I can think of a lot better things we can do with that. And so I remember I'd get in my where I'm confessing. You know, I make it a point to confess my faith. Why? I got to make sure I'm raining. And so I'm confessing and I said, Father, I thank you. You said in your word that I'm delivered from unreasonable, wicked people. I thank you. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to happen, how it's going to turn, but I thank you. We will not have to put that sprinkler system in. Well, they kept putting it off, trying to plead their case. They came back, no. And they'd call me and talk to me to update me on the project. And I'd say, what'd you find out about the sprinkler system? And I'd get bad news. I'd hang up the phone, and you know what I'd say? Because there's the storm. There's the rain down on you. There's the pressure. I'd say, wherefore, sirs, I believe God, and it shall be as He spoke it. He said, I'm delivered from a reasonable wicked people. I remember telling Jay Eckert, I said, get ready, Jay. Watch what God's going to do. I mean, when you believe God, you just say things. I said, watch what God's going to do. And he said, oh, okay. He didn't know. Just crazy preacher. Yeah. And it kept going by and kept going by. And I remember I was in my kitchen and I got a phone call. Actually, it was a text message. And I looked at the text message and I went and showed her, and Caleb was there and Abby was there. And I started rejoicing. They said, guess what? New York State just changed all the regulations. And they've upped the occupancy population or whatever that you will not have to have it. I said, glory to God. It happened. I believe God and it came to pass. And now you say, well, that was just... No, they were telling me it was impossible. That there's no way. In fact, they said to me many times, there's no way around it. Well, great. That don't move me because I know the one that has a way around everything. When there was no way, he split the water. Praise God. When there was no way, the rock hit the giant in the head. When there was no way, the lions became little kittens in that cage. When there was no way, the fire didn't even touch those three men. When there was no way. My God's a way maker. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And so, just understand, we're getting ready to close here in a minute. I want to go over one last thing. Just remember that in the midst of the confession of your faith, he's telling you to hang on because it's going to look bad. It's going to look tough at some times, but don't let that sway you. Don't let that, you hold on to that thing. Don't let go. Praise God. So what do? Well, go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. I want to help you now. So remember, you keep speaking it, you keep speaking it. How long do I say it? Until it shows up. Until it shows up. When you think about it, you say it. When the devil starts beating you up, you say it. When circumstances are telling you no, you say it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. My Lord. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, is doing the word well-doing? Amen. So would holding fast the profession of your faith be considered well-doing? Yes. Oh yeah, because you're doing the word. So don't go weary doing that. He said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities to faint, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I know this, that naturally, God always, like I said, lots of times uses natural illustrations to bring forth spiritual examples or spiritual illustrations. He'll use natural examples and illustrations. I've been on the verge before of fainting naturally. And one of the reasons when you're putting forth exertion at a job or working out. You know, have you ever gone to the gym or gone to do a workout and you didn't eat breakfast? Or you go to do a work that's maybe laborsome and you didn't eat breakfast, you didn't bring your lunch? I'll tell you what, you feel different, don't you? I remember one time being out, I went for a walk with my dogs, and you know, I walk up some pretty good hills and try to go at a good clip, you know, to get them exercise and me exercise, but I didn't eat anything that morning. And I remember just feeling real dizzy. And I remember shooting a text to her and said, somebody's got to bring me some food right now. And you know, and then when you eat it, you just feel like you're back to yourself and normal. Well, in this place, now if you want to say, how, Pastor, can I have the strength to hold on when it looks bad? Well, I'm going to tell you how to hold on. Because here's what happens, and I don't mean this demeaning to any, to this condition or anything. Sometimes when you bring things up, people, you know, if they know somebody or have dealt with stuff, they take it personal. But I'm just going to speak the truth. You know my heart. We have a lot of anorexic Christians. Now, let me tell you something. Somebody that struggles with anorexia, are they the picture of strength and health? No. Are they very strong physically? No, they're not. They're weak in their body, aren't they? I mean, is that normal? That's true, right? They're weak. They don't have the proper nutrition. They don't have the proper sustenance. They don't have what's needed to be strong. Well, that's the same thing with Christians. They're so weak that when they go to hold on, you know, if you take someone that's a bodybuilder and strong and you try to get something out of their hands, it's hard. But you try to get something out of somebody's hands that's ate very low calories for months and months and is weak and is frail, it's easy to get that out of their hands. Well, the devil comes along to shake, rattle, and roll you. And if we're weak and malnourished, we're going to give that thing up like nothing. I mean, he's going to send a financial trial at us, and we're going to shake in the wind and drop that thing. Well, do you want to know how to be strong? It comes down to some simple things. Number one, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. I've already seen this many times, but I'll keep preaching it till people start doing it. Praise God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. You want to be strong, number one, keep feeding on the Word. Amen. Feed on the Word every day. Why? The Word is food for your spirit. Just like food for your natural man. Like, here's an example. Sunday mornings, I don't eat anything right before I preach, especially in the mornings. If anything, maybe I'll have a little bit of yogurt. I don't like to feel full and bogged down before. But I'll tell you what, I'm fine. The grace of God keeps me going and strong. But man, when I get home and the anointing's lifted and I'm out of the pulpit, man, I need to get something in me. And that's just missing one meal and putting forth some energy and exertion. And yet people, all the time, but when I put that food in, I get stronger again. Matthew 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live. That word live is the Zoe life of God, the abundant life of God, by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you're going to stay strong in the midst of the patient's test, you're going to have to be a feeder of the Word of God. Amen. You can't just snack on the Word. Well, I got my Word filling. You know, you're here today and you heard the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't hear the Word again till next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, that's like you saying, well, I ate one meal today on Sunday. I'm not going to eat another meal till next Sunday. You'd be weak. Yeah. You'd be sickly. Right. You'd get dizzy. You'd want to faint. Your love walk would suffer. Things like that. So number one, you got to be in the Word. Number two, are you ready? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Praise God. In verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Do you see that there? What does that word edify mean? To charge up or to build oneself up. Now, hold your place there and real quick go to Jude chapter 20. Or Jude 1 verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude, verse 20. Jude 1 and verse 20. So Paul said, by praying in an unknown tongue, you spiritually edify or build yourself up. Jude 1 and verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. Look it up. There it is. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. What's that mean? Like a bodybuilder to strengthen yourself. Why? So when the devil comes to shake it, man, your muscles are strong. Your grip is strong. It ain't getting it out of you. Building up yourselves. Whose job is it to build yourself? Whose job is it to make sure you're built up? Yourself. Amen. You are. Yeah. People look at, oh, I'm not praying in tongues. I'm not doing that tongues business. You've been hoodwinked. It's a gift that God gave us. To build up. Oh, I don't want to take that. That's just something I don't. That's for those crazy charismatics. Paul said this. That crazy charismatic that said, wherefore, sirs, in the face of hell, I believe God as it was. I don't care what it looks like. It'll be as it was written. That crazy charismatic said, I thank my God in verse 5. Chapter 14 and verse 18. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yeah. Amen. Pull that up because I don't think people believe me. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Now he's the same one that said when you pray, you edify yourself. No wonder Paul could be in the midst of a storm and take the Word of God and hang on to the Word, regardless of what it looked like. No wonder he was a spiritual Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was. He was a spiritual, incredible Hulk. My God. He had spent so much time building himself. You know he was a Word man. And you know he was in prayer because of that. He was building himself up. So why can he in prison, which is where he wrote this, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. He was built up. Didn't matter what the circumstances said. Didn't matter what the net. He was so stinking built up. Praise God. So number one, go back to Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, please. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. So Paul said, you edify yourself, you build yourself up. Now, if you don't know anything about tongues, well, that's okay. I came out of a place I didn't know anything about it. But my God, don't leave it on the place of not knowing anything about it when the greatest Christian ever said he did it all the time. And he had a life of victory. Why wouldn't that make a light bulb go off your head and say, I better find out about this. Well, it's so weird. Listen, all spiritual things are weird. It's weird that you believe that a guy died and rose again. That's weird. It's weird. It's weird. Now, this is where it comes, the sense knowledge and the word knowledge. When the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, I don't understand how by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, but that's what the word says. That's what the word says. Praise God. That's weird to my natural mind. My natural mind, that's weird. But my spirit knows it's true. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. That's what verse 2 says. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. Well, what's happening when you're praying in the Holy Ghost? You're building yourself up. My God, we start shake, rattling, and rolling when all of a sudden a little thing goes wrong in our cars and our vehicles. I mean, I had one person one time, you thought the world was ending. I mean, they were a mess. They were a wreck. I thought, my God, what am I going to hear? They said, the light in my refrigerator is out. You say, you're full of it. I'm telling the truth. That's somebody that is frail. One little thing just dropped on them, and it's, I'm telling you, this is true. My God, I wouldn't lie. I'll tell you, when you're built up, you can be in the midst of a storm. It looks like you're going to die and have a smile on your face and say, it's going to work out. I don't care that it's been years. It's going to turn. It's going to change, only if you're built up. So last but not least, so be a person of the Word. I'll tell you how many people's lives would change if they'd be a person of the Word and prayer. Oh, lives would look different. Romans chapter 4, and we'll close with this. Remember, was Abraham in the midst of a patience test? He sure was. I mean, my God. Now again, the tongues thing, if you're unfamiliar with it, that's okay. That people come from different backgrounds. There was many years of a Christian that I was unfamiliar with it. But I found out about it. You have a pastor that will direct you, guide you, give you material, show you what to do, how to do it, and things like that. Don't when you see and hear that you can be built up, don't just leave it there. So Romans chapter 4 in verse 20. Remember, Abraham was in the midst of a patience test, wasn't he? The word said, you're having a baby. But the natural said, no, you're not. Right? And it went by year after year saying, no, you're not having a baby. Well, he staggered not at the promise of God. He wasn't staggering, wavering left and right through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God. Number one, be a person of the Word. Number two, be a person of prayer. But number three, be a person of praise. You don't know what I see when I'm up here. Oh, the looks on some of your faces. I wish I could take a picture and say, is that what you want people to see? I mean, we're praising God, and you look like the weight of planet Earth is on you. And I'm thinking my whole time as I see it, they must just not know. They're not built up. Something has come by, robbed them of their joy, robbed them of their victory. They call me with quivering and panic in their voice. They're just not built up. Be a person of praise. You say, why? Well, the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Praise, now get this. Yes, it's the voice of faith, but what praise does is it holds your attention on God. When you praise God, it gets your attention off the problem and puts it on the solution. And when you constantly are magnifying him and blowing him up, finally he gets bigger and the problem gets smaller and smaller. I remember one person said to me, I got tens of thousands of dollars of debt in student loans. And I said, what is your point? He's God. You think any number of money or any doctor's report or any situation that we consider impossible, you think any of that bothers him? He's God. And when you praise the God of the impossible, and when you praise the God of victory, he gets bigger, the mountain gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And you hold on to that confession of faith. Why? You're strong from the Word. You're strong from building yourself up in prayer, and your attention and focus is on him. Abraham was able to stay strong in faith, not staring at the mirror and counting the extra gray hairs and the extra wrinkles. He wasn't doing that. No, he just went around saying, I'm going to have a baby. Glory to God. You're faithful, Father. You're faithful. You're not a man that should lie. Hallelujah. Wherefore, sirs, I believe God. Praise God. Well, did you get fed? We'll see where God's going to take us next week, but it'll be part six anyway. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Oh, glory to God. We are blessed. We are blessed. Praise God. Let's worship Him right now. We're blessed. We praise you. Whatever we're facing, you're bigger than it. You're bigger than it. You just need our cooperation. You said all things are possible to the one that believes. Once we believe, that hooks up a line of faith to you and you flow your power right through it. Just like you did with that woman. Oh, it was possible for her to be healed, but until she hooked into you, praise God. Praise God. We bless you this morning. We bless you this morning. We bless you. Yes, yes. Those situations, if you'll do this, will turn. Those situations, that money, it'll come. That healing, it'll come, praise God. That situation, it'll turn, praise God. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads, please. Close their eyes real fast. If you're hearing my voice, which means you're in this building, or if you're listening right now by live stream, or if you've logged on in the future and listening to the archives, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes. And you might say, man, that sounds like a good thing, you know, to go to heaven. But how do you know that's the truth? Well, Jesus said it in His Word. The Bible says, if I believe that He died and rose again, and I ask Him or confess that and ask Him into my heart, the Bible says I'll be saved. It has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds. It has nothing to do with how much money you've given, how much you've served in a church. It's all what you do with Jesus. And if you can say, there are qualifications for heaven. Church attendance isn't one of them. Money's not one of them. Your good deeds outweighing your bad is not one of them. The only qualifications for heaven are that you believe in Him and that you receive that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, you never have done that before. You know, it's not enough just to believe in Him. You got to receive Him. The devil believes in Him, but the devil won't receive Him. And so if you're here this morning, you can say, I don't believe I've ever asked Jesus into my heart, but I do believe in Him, and I want to receive Him. You've told me how to get saved, and if you're listening by live stream, but with heads bowed and eyes closed in this place, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody at all in here, in this building right now, that wants to receive the Lord? Just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus. Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice is born again in here. But Lord, if there's by chance somebody in here or somebody listening right now or in the future, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. Father, I pray that they would call on your name. Father, it's so simple. All they have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me, and He will. He'll take up residency, and then the next step for you is to find a good Bible-teaching church. A good Bible-teaching church is one that will preach the Word of God and flow with the Holy Ghost. Find a good teaching church, plant in that church, and watch God move in your life. Let's just worship Him and make sure there's nothing more that He wants to do here this morning. Father, we love You. We praise You and glorify You. Father, is there anything else? We were fed, but Lord, if there's anything else, we want to be obedient. We never want to rush things, Father. We praise You. Is there anything else, Father? Just worship Him. Just, what am I doing? I'm checking in my heart to see if there's anything that the Lord wants to do before we close. Father, is there anything? We praise You and bless You. Praise You and bless You. Anything else? Anything else? Father, I don't have anything in my heart, so I'm going to unhook right there. But we praise and bless You. Magnify You in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you rush out of here, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll be here preaching the Word. And then also, don't forget, we have fellowship over in the old sanctuary. There's some goodies over there that people have taken the time to make, prepare, bring, and get ready for you. So have an awesome rest of your weekend. And we'll see you all Wednesday night. If we don't see you Wednesday, don't forget, spring ahead next week. Praise God. You're dismissed.